Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco Giants Insider, Alex Pavlovich.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. Before I get to today's guests, I want to take you back to the GM meetings in November. It was here in the Phoenix area, and Bobby Evans at the time, really every time he had a media availability, it was New York writers who were asking him about Cespedes and whether the Giants would be in on that. And Bobby made it pretty clear back then that he liked the options he had in left field. Said the same thing at the winter meeting, said the same thing in January if anybody asked him, said the same thing at FanFest. And here we are. It's Mack Williamson, it's Jarrett Parker. One of those guys is going to win the opening day job unless something really weird happens here. So that's been the plan all along, and it's still the plan. And because of that, of course, I had to group those two guys together. On the second podcast this week, if you missed it, Connor Gillespie was on earlier this week. I talked to both of these guys earlier in camp. We sat down right around the time games were starting, so they understood what the competition would be, and it's been a friendly competition, as you'll hear from both of them. They're friends. They do everything together on the field, and I think they understand what's at stake, but they're also really not letting that get in the way. And at this point, it's really hard to kind of separate them. They're on the field together all the time, and Parker got off to a hot start. Williamson, over the last week, has really played well at back-to-back games with a home run. So these guys are not separated by much at this point. I think the big separator, as we've known all along, is that Jarrett Parker is out of options. But we'll see how that plays out. Before I get to the guests, a reminder as always, you can subscribe on iTunes or wherever you listen to this. I am posting these pretty late the night before, so you have them for your commute the next day and it's ready to go or for work. So that way it just downloads automatically. So as always, I recommend doing that. Here's Mack Williamson first, and then Jarrett Parker.
So this is a different camp for you. You're explicitly fighting for a job. Does it feel different for you when you walked in here? Can you kind of feel the stakes raised a little bit?
Maybe a little bit, but I'm trying not to have that mentality and putting extra pressure on myself. At the end of the day, you know, I'm going to go out there and just try to have fun and play and let, you know, let everything happen. Obviously, I'm going against Jarrett as well as some of the other, you know, guys. I mean, it could be, you know, another guy, Morris or Ruggiano or somebody like that. But it's, you know, I'm just trying to have fun. You can't really control the outcome. I'm trying to, you know, put in the hours to prepare and, you know, let that product, you know, work on the field, and whatever happens, happens.
I know you and Jarrett are friendly. I think you guys have the same agent. You're in the same hitting group. What's it like on a daily basis going against him?
I mean, it's fun. I mean, we're throw partners. We're in the same hitting group, like you said. We're in the same with the same agency. We were hanging out last night at Topgolf. Like, you know, we're close. We hang out off the field in the clubhouse. We know we're competing against each other, but it's not. We don't really talk about it in that sense. You know, we're not trying to stab each other in the back or anything like that. We both, you know, are big believers in, you know, if you're good enough to play at this level, every day you go out there and play, whether it's spring training or the season, you're playing for not just the Giants, but all 30 clubs. So if you're not able to make an impact here, you know, hopefully you're, you know, good enough to make an impact elsewhere, and they can see that. So if you go out there and you're good enough to play in the big leagues and you're good enough to contribute, then you'll find a way.
You guys are all with social media, with all that. You're all so aware of what's going on now, just in baseball in general. In the off season, were you kind of watching to see if they do bring in a left fielder? I mean, Bobby made it clear from the beginning he likes the two guys he has, but how much are you paying attention to what's going on the outside?
Well, obviously, you know, on Twitter you see things here and there. I wasn't specifically looking for things, but, you know, I ran across when we signed Melanson, we were going after Melanson, and and Hundley and all that stuff. I did see, you know, what Bobby had said about me, but I took it with a grain of salt, mainly because I know this is a business, and I know that the Giants have done a great job in the past of putting together teams, putting together all the puzzles, the pieces of the puzzle to win. So I knew, you know, this offseason would be no different. They were going to keep their options open, and if something presented itself that would, you know, be worth the expenditure, then they were going to go for it. You know, Parker and I both are relatively unproven, and, you know, the money they have spent and invested this year, especially with Cueto's opt-out, stuff like that, you know, they want to win. They're not here to just compete. They want to win. And so I was, you know, cognizant of what was going on, but I wasn't trying to wrap myself in it because I couldn't control what they did or what they didn't do, or, you know, I could just control what I could control. So just have fun in the offseason, get some rest, and come in ready to compete.
I think one thing that the executives look at a lot is stretches that you and Jared have had where we've seen what you're capable of. For you, it was last summer, it was about a month there where you played a lot. I think you hit 5 or 6 homers and really started to show defensively that the diving catches on both sides of the field. How much did that show you what you're capable of? Did it kind of, was it one of those a lot of guys talk about, I feel like I have proven that I belong at this level? I mean, what did that stretch do for you?
I think for either of us, you know, it's difficult for any player to go out there and play once or twice a week or get pinch hits in the eighth against, you know, whoever, one, you know, a setup guy or a closer. I mean, that's very difficult to do, and the numbers speak for themselves. The guys that are able to do that successfully still only hit 250. You know, that's really hard. And Jared and I both, once we had an opportunity, in September 15, he had a good opportunity to play that month and crushed it. Really did a great job that month. And then last year in the middle of the year when Hunter got hurt and I had an opportunity to play every day, you know, I got comfortable defensively and started playing a little bit better defensively and got comfortable with the plate and kind of letting the game come to me a little bit more, as opposed to when I first got called up that last year. You know, I was kind of trying to go out and do too much and really force the issue. So I was able to kind of relax and know that, you know, if you just relax and let the next guy get the job done, then you can go out there and just play and not try to do too much.
It's been kind of a running joke with us that the guys you faced as a pinch hitter, I mean, you Kimbrel, I think a lot of the tough left-handers in the league.
Miller, Chapman.
you know the whole list. There's been some success mixed in there, but for the most part, these are the best pitchers.
Well, yeah, that makes it fun in a sense because you kind of measuring yourself against the best, and, you know, clearly I'm not the best because they've beaten me more often than not, much more often than not. You know, and then, you know, last year we platooned a lot, so I got to go against the lefties, and there's some good righties in our division and some really good lefties, and so facing Kershaw and Hill and Urias and some of those guys was definitely fun and challenging. But, you know, you add that in with a rivalry, and it was a lot of fun last year to be a part of that and, you know, to help the team.
I know coaches always talk about how difficult that is for a young player and somebody who's, you know, one at bat every 3 or 4 days. What's the hardest part of that process? I know there are places where you can't even warm up, so you're just going out there and facing a John Lester or whoever.
Yeah, that was specifically tough in Chicago because they didn't really have a place for us to hit during the game, and I got you know, the pinch hit there against Lester, so you're kind of going in and going at it, and obviously a younger guy, pinch hitter, you want to be aggressive. You're not trying to get down on the count. Parker and I both are more aggressive guys, and we're power hitters, so you're not necessarily trying to get to 2 strikes so we can protect. You know, we're trying to get the head out and do some damage, and that's what they want from us. That doesn't mean we need to be chasing all over the place. I mean, I've had my moments of, you know, chasing balls out of the zone. So you got to be selective and aggressive. But it's a little difficult. It's a little difficult. You're not in the flow of the game. Not really sure how the strike zone is playing that day. You pay attention, but it's different when you're in the box versus watching the dugout or watching on TV. You know, everything, you got to really be able to control your adrenaline because you're going from sitting there on the bench to in the game, and it's usually meaningful. When you're going into pinch hit, it's a tie game, you're up by one, down by one, and it's not like you're just going up there to get in a bat like spring training. Like, you're going in there, and it's meaningful at bat. So in that sense, it's really difficult to kind of control your emotions, control your, you know, your adrenaline, and just relax and just let the game come to you.
I remember last year you went into Bochy's office and actually told him, look, I'm capable of this. I don't give up on me in this role. And then you did. You went out there and proved it. Do you think that was kind of a big moment for you in your career, just to show what you're capable of at that level?
I think that, you know, there was a time there last year where it looked from the outside like I didn't have confidence in myself. I had struggled a little bit, and it looked like I was down on myself. And, you know, how can anybody else be high on you if you're not high on yourself? So I think I wanted to go in there and just tell them, look, I'm a guy that gets very frustrated when I don't succeed, which is obviously, you know, a challenge in this game because you're not succeeding very much. So I wanted to go in there and talk to him and just say, hey, look, you know, I'm going to work hard for you. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to give it, you know, what I have. I haven't doubted myself. I'm not down on myself. I want you to give me that opportunity next time. And thankfully he did, and I came through for him a few times. And I think that relationship is special with Bochy. I mean, he has the open door policy, so we're able to go and talk with him, things like that, and kind of, you know, have that rapport where, you know, we can let him know how we're feeling. He's going to give it to us straight. I mean, he's not going to sugarcoat it. So I think that was important for, you know, that summer stretch there of kind of kicking that off and getting a few more opportunities to show what I could do.
He unfortunately didn't get to use you down the stretch. You had the shoulder pop up again. At what point of the offseason, or maybe even in October, did you kind of feel like you were back to yourself?
Well, yeah, so I was out for August, and then I came back, and obviously we were in the hunt, right? And then everybody was healthy. Hunter was healthy, and Angel was healthy, and so there really wasn't a good opportunity for me to play. Gorky's had been playing really well, and obviously defensively he's a stud, so he was getting those first opportunities off the bench and late-inning defensive replacement. So I didn't get a lot of playing time there, but, you know, I felt like, my shoulder was fine when I came back. There was no issues. They did a good job not rushing me and making sure I was ready. I didn't think that was an issue. Obviously I hurt my leg there in San Diego, so I spent a good portion of the beginning of the offseason kind of rehabbing that and getting that stretched out so that wouldn't be an issue now coming into this year, because I knew potentially that this year would be, you know, a big year for myself. So I feel great now health-wise. I don't have anything holding me back, which I'm very fortunate for, you know, after the way last year ended, but it's going to be fun.
You mentioned those two, and then obviously we've been over the Tommy John. There have been other things here and there that have held you back. How have you managed to deal with that? You mentioned you're a guy you don't like to fail. Yeah. How have you managed to deal with that? Just there's nothing you can do there. You just have to sit on ice for a couple months.
Yeah, it's difficult. You know, you look at some guys. Buster was out for a year with his ankle, but aside from that, I mean, he's played through, you know, some nagging things here or there. But it's been incredible how he's kind of stayed healthy. Crawford, you know, he's had a little bit of things here and there, but he hasn't really been out for a significant period of time. So you look at those guys and try to figure out how they've been able to do it. Is it kind of dialing back before the game, or dialing back in the offseason or spring training, whatever it is, to allow them to remain healthier? Do they do a better job of warming up? So that was last year. It was difficult for me not playing every day, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're in the game, and you know, what can I do to be prepared but be fully, you know, stretched out and warmed up so that I'm not going to injure myself? And that's kind of what happened last year. Is, you know, there was a couple times where I wasn't prepared like I should have been, and it was my turn. And you know, obviously late in the year, there's several options. There's not just one or two options. So, you know, you're trying not to get everybody hot at once. And so I think I kind of watch those guys, how they handle success, how they handle failure. Crawl's very good at it. Buster's very good at it. Duffy was very good at it. And they go out there, and you know, it's hard to tell whether they went 4-for-4 or 0-for-4. You know, they come back, and just they know there's the next day. And for me, it was difficult because there's not always a next day. I'm not on contract. Nothing's guaranteed for me. So I kind of carried that with me a little bit too much last year. You know, the failures, and constantly felt that pressure of, you know, if I don't succeed today, you know, I'm going to be packing my bags for El Paso or for Memphis tomorrow. So, you know, one of the biggest things I learned mentally, the struggle of going up and down, stuff like that, was just relax and let it happen. There's plenty of guys that have done this before. Bam, he was one of the guys that talked to me. He was up and down in his career as well. It's just about relaxing and taking advantage of the opportunity and accepting the failure.
You did have to pack a lot last year, and that's kind of life when you have options, when you can be shuttled back and forth. What's the thing off the field that's the most difficult part about that? I mean, whether it's travel or constantly being in a new city, or
I enjoy that. I enjoy going around new cities. There's a lot of cities that you visit, especially in AAA, that you're not going to visit when, you know, you're on your own. You're not going to go to Des Moines, Iowa, probably. I mean, you get to see some stuff that you wouldn't get to see. I would like the flights to be a little later. 5:30 a.m. flights are a little difficult after a night game, but no, they're fun to see. That the biggest issue for me is my family's on the East Coast. You know, so they stay up every, you know, watch the games at night, but I don't get to see them as much, you know, being as close with them as I am when I grew up and all that stuff. I went to college an hour and a half away, so I was able to see them. They were able to see me. So that has been difficult a little bit. It was great last year. Went to New York. They were able to come to that game. They were going to come to Washington before I got hurt to watch that. So that's a little bit difficult. The time change, you know, and their busy hours, I'm sleeping or at the field, and, you know, my busy hours, they're sleeping or whatever, so. That's probably the biggest challenge. But in terms of, you know, going around, I mean, I live out of a suitcase anyway, so it's kind of what I'm accustomed to the last few years.
I think we're all used to that. The last thing, your off-season workouts, you still work out with Matt Duffy, I think, started that a couple years ago.
Yeah.
What was that like? Obviously a little bit different. You guys aren't preparing to be in the same camp.
Yeah, that was tough this year, knowing that he was going to be traveling, you know, to Florida instead of, you know, road tripping with me out here. But it was fun. It's good to kind of have that familiarity with him and, you know, relax, enjoy the offseason. Obviously, he's very talented. He's, you know, offensively, defensively, but mentally, he's a good guy to kind of bounce things off of because he's very good at accepting failure and, you know, just looking at it from the big picture as opposed to a pitch to pitch or a bat to bat, just letting, you know, letting things go. So he's a guy that, you know, I've always, you know, kind of been a soundboard for me to, you know, to help me out. But, you know, being with him and kind of getting in that baseball feel right there at the new year and kind of, you know, getting ready to go and getting workouts and getting on the field, it's fun, and he's going to be missed.
Yeah, he is missed already. I know, get asked about him every day pretty much.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
Thanks, Mac.
You got it.
You're famous for, I mean, famous in the clubhouse for your off-season trips, kind of the what you like to do. I mean, see different parts of the world, but a different off-season for you this year. You're preparing for really fighting for a starting job. How much did that affect what you did since the end of last season?
You know, it didn't really. You know, if I sat there and worried about it the entire off season, then it'd probably be terrible. You know, so I'm gonna go about my business the same way. Regardless of the situation, you know, all I want to do is every time I step on a baseball field, I'm trying to give it everything I got. You know, if I leave everything on the field, I can walk away with my head held high. You know, and so when it comes to that, it's as simple as just playing the game the right way, playing as hard as I can, and after that, I'm not worried about what happens.
You are out of options. You've been around for a while. The stakes for you are pretty high. Is it hard not to feel the pressure this spring?
You know, like I said, if I think about it, you know, if you think about it and dwell on it, absolutely. You know, but, you know, I've learned throughout my years is there's only so much you can control. And, you know, I can control my attitude. I can control what I think about and the way I go about my business. And like I said, if I go about my business the right way, at the end of the day, I can be happy.
You and Mac have been teammates for a while. I know you play catch together. You're friendly. And really, every time I look around the facility, you guys are kind of in the same place. How much are you trying to keep an eye on him, but also not? I mean, you guys are teammates in that respect, too, but you're fighting for the same job.
Yeah. We're friends. You know, he's a great baseball player, and I want to help him, and he wants to help me. So, you know, I want Mac to be as good as he can, and you know, he wants the same for me. When it comes to fighting for a competition, I honestly don't see it that way. You know, I think we both have enough to give to you know, a club that can be really special. You know, and I believe there's enough success for everybody, and you know, if I just worry about playing the game the way I know how to play, then the rest will take care of itself.
The things that stand out when we talk to people, Bobby or Brian, about what you've done, that the strike zone judgment has gotten better, that the contact rate has gotten better. What have you done over the years to improve in those areas?
You know, honestly, every time I go to the field, I'm always trying to get better. Every day is an opportunity to, you know, just get a 1% better, 0.1% better. And, you know, that's something I try to do here at spring training is, you know, we got some awesome veterans and we got some, you know, old Giants players that come back, and I'm trying to pick their brains and learn little tidbits here and there to try to get better. So any chance I can get to learn a little insight and you know, improve is what I'm trying to do.
You have Morse, Ruggiano, Jimmy Rollins, Aaron Hill, all these guys who have been all-stars, they've been MVPs in camp. What are the younger players taking away from this experience?
You know, I think it's pretty special. You know, I always see people, I see the younger guys looking at J-Roll, and you know, I remember watching him in college when you know, with the Phillies, and it's really special. And you know, I think, you know, I hope all the younger guys look at it as an opportunity to improve just like I do.
We've seen stretches from you where, I mean, obviously the famous one in Oakland in that September, but also stretches last season where you really seem to lock in at the plate. What do you have to do to find that consistency, especially if you are the starting left fielder, is somebody who might have to do that for 162 games?
You know, I think a big thing is just being able to get into a consistent routine and a consistent process. You know, going up and down and playing sometimes and you know, playing not is a learning curve. You know, and so I always try to, you know, I talk to guys like Connor, and Connor, you know, kind of had to get acclimated to his role as a bench guy, and then he learned, you know, had to step up in the playoffs. So it's just kind of a learning process of trying to figure out your routine and the way your body needs to work and the way you need to get yourself ready every day to play. So I look at it as, you know, in spring training, always trying to figure out how to, you know, get my body ready, get going, you know, because we start early. You know, we're starting on Friday. So trying to get prepared.
The everyday role is one where it's not, you know, you come in and face a tough righty or whatever. It's a division with a lot of left-handed hitters, and that's something where if you are the everyday left fielder, I assume you want to be out there against those guys. What's the adjustment against lefties as opposed to, I think we've seen you can hit right-handers at this level, but mm-hmm. but that's kind of a next step. What do you have to do to get there?
I don't think I have a problem hitting lefties. You know, it's like I said, it's getting consistent ABs against them and getting into a consistent routine. So for me, I'm just trying to get that work in, you know, trying to get that feel against lefties and getting a consistent approach.
Is it tough at this level when you do see those guys? It's a Kershaw, a Rich Hill, a Urias, especially in this division. I mean, these are not just lefties. They're some of the best in baseball.
Absolutely. You know, there's no easy days. There's no days off when you're facing a pitcher. You're always going to have to bring your A game. You're always going to have to be ready to go because you're facing somebody that's going to bring it every day. And it's exciting. You know, it's a competition. Every time I step up to the plate, it's you know, me versus the pitcher, and you know, he's going to bring his best stuff, and I'm going to bring my best stuff.
It is out of here in the center field, and this game is over.
Got him.
And that's a perfect game. Swing and a miss. The Giants are world champions.
The Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com.